Welcome back to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If the NBA season were to end today, the Sacramento Kings would be in the playoffs. The team, which is now on break for All-Star Weekend, has 32 wins and 25 losses, perched in third place in the Western Conference standings. If you're a casual fan or maybe don't even follow the Kings, you may wonder why this is significant. Just think about all that's happened over the past 16 years in Sacramento since the last time the team made the playoffs. The Kings almost moved to Seattle. There was a ballot measure to build a new arena, which failed. The Kings were sold, and then the city and a new owner agreed to build Golden 1 Center, which gave birth to DoCo, the downtown commons area. And the Kings have had more head coaches than anyone really cares to count. Players constantly coming and going, all in the hopes of getting back to the playoffs, making this team and franchise relevant again. And we are now just a few weeks away from ending the longest postseason drought in all of the four major professional sports. So that's why we invited Fox 40 sports reporter and producer Sean Cunningham back to Insight to talk about the team's success so far, what it will take to get to the playoffs, and why this success means much more than basketball. Good morning, Sean.
What's going on, Vicky? How are you?
I think I needed sad music under that intro.
Setting
up the past 16 years.
It's definitely uplifting, right?
So you last joined us October 18th. That was the day before the beginning of the season. And at that time, you were cautiously optimistic for everything that I just laid out, that the team would have a decent season. But then the Kings, they got off to kind of a bad start. They had four straight losses. But fast forward to today, the Kings have already won, I believe, more wins than all of last year. They also have two All-Star players, and they're in third place in the West. So what do you think? How do you think things have been going so far?
I mean, if you're a fan or even a media member covering this team, you're thrilled with the team's success thus far, even if it is just regular season success and other teams wouldn't look at this and getting ready to, you know, be too excited to throw like a parade or anything like that. I mean, this is something that just hasn't happened here in Sacramento very often, as you laid out. And because of that, fans are really, you know, I was cautiously optimistic about this team because, again, you haven't seen it in a long time and you kind of want to see a little modicum of success before you get too excited. You know, they always say the proof is in the pudding and you just haven't seen it yet. Now you're starting to see it. I mean, you mentioned just a minute ago, De'Aaron Fox and Domas Sabonis are both All-Stars teammates, Sacramento Kings. That hasn't happened since 2004. And there's so many of these moments throughout this season already, and we're only 57 games into the 82-game schedule. So with 25 to go, I mean, every night it seems like they're doing something that we're saying, oh, we haven't seen that since this year. We haven't seen this since this year. These little like landmarks that of accomplishments that have happened. And when you really look at it, it's even bigger than that, Vicky. I mean, the league is taking notice of the Sacramento team. That they play a fast-paced, efficient brand of basketball, especially on the offensive end. There's certainly plenty to pick apart and be critical of on the defensive end, but here you are going into the All-Star break, right? You've got Fox and Sabonis in the All-Star game on Sunday, but you also have a rising star in Keegan Murray, the rookie, who's going to take center stage on the Rising Star Challenge on Friday night, along with Kevin Huerter in the three-point shootout. So Sacramento, you're talking about four of the five starters represented at All-Star Weekend. You also have an Uber Kings fan and a Davis native in the celebrity game in Hasan Minhaj. So Sacramento is well represented, and I got to catch a flight tomorrow to head to Utah myself to cover it all.
You've been covering the Kings for quite a while. You're a Sacramento native. How long does this go back for you, journalistically speaking?
Yeah, I like to say like in the NBA before they had the one and done where you had to go to college for 1 year, I was right out of high school into my profession, just like LeBron James. So it's been since 2002 was my first full year. I had a taste of it in 01, but 2002, if you remember, Vicky, that's the that 01-02 season was the pinnacle of King's success here in Sacramento. They went to the Western Conference Finals, and you know, brace yourself, Kings fans, because every time you mention that, everyone thinks of the Robert Horry shot and getting bounced by the Lakers and three zebras, as they like to call them, the NBA's officials. So, that series ended in heartbreak. It was the closest they've ever had. It came to a championship, and it's the most success they've ever had. So that's when I started, and everything else has kind of been gradually downhill since then as they work their way back to trying to reach those heights again.
Yeah, and here we are more than 20 years later having this conversation. And, you know, has been a rough ride for longtime Kings fans like yourself and covering this over the past 16 years and counting. But has there been a more dysfunctional or even drama-filled team in pro sports like this before?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is. I think it gets this small market town has been through a lot, and a lot of their warts show over the years. But there's plenty of organizations that have had really awful things that have happened to them. And I mean, if you look at just in the NBA alone, if you were comparing it to something like, you know, the Donald Sterling situation in the Clippers, I mean, that certainly you haven't had anything criminal, you know, or just grotesque like that. And there are things that have happened along the way that, you know, some people don't like to see the way the sausage gets made. And certainly seeing an organization, almost a city, almost lose their only professional sports franchise is frightening. So fortunately that didn't happen. And you've got not only a team to still root for civic pride, but you have that beautiful arena in downtown Sacramento that acts as what, you know, Vivek Ranadive, the owner of the team, has, he set out to see this arena and that Doco Plaza to be this modern day cathedral, if you will, to bring people together of all walks of life to be able to celebrate something. And that source of civic pride. So certainly it's on the up and up right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that opening. I was there. I covered it back in 2016. And you mentioned, I mean, we're now getting national recognition like ESPN. Can you give us an example of a small market team, or what began as a small market team, like perhaps the Kings, who has found success, and really how that impacts the culture, the morale, and the spirit of a city?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, in talking to people just throughout the years, they always look at, I always joke because, you know, college sports don't really resonate in California like they do in the Midwest or the South or, you know, other parts of the country. But when they come to Sacramento, the way the team is supported by the fans and the way they're supported by the fans is very similar to the way major college sports are supported by these rabid fan bases. So I like seeing that for sure. It is a small market. You can see sustained playoff success no further than a team like San Antonio, who gets a generational talent in Tim Duncan. They have a great coach in Greg Popovich, and they're able to rattle off several decades of sustained playoff success. And here they are now just getting their first taste of losing basketball in a very, very long time. So I think that's always been the model for not just NBA teams, but particularly small market teams. And when you're looking at a team like the Sacramento Kings, yeah, it was 16 years, but even in a 16 year playoff drought, even before that though, they, you know, they had several great years of sustained playoff success under the Maloofs and Jeff Petrie, who put that team together, and Rick Adelman, who had that head coach. So every team has to go with, you know, you're hoping for continuity. You're hoping for a similar message that sticks around for so long. And, you know, let's face it, it takes talent. So this team has gone through many iterations of talent. You know, Sabonis and Fox will be the first All-Stars since DeMarcus Cousins. So that's a long time. So but when you have 16 years of a playoff drought and lack of success, it doesn't usually you don't usually get your stars rewarded that way. So once you start winning cures all, and that's when you get your not only the national media taking attention, and you get the likes of national TV games, but you also get, you know, some of these merit badges along the way, like All-Star games.
You know, you mentioned that you started covering the Kings, you know, like when you were a young adult, an older teenager. What would you tell a 16-year-old fan now who has never even witnessed the Kings in the playoffs? I mean, how do you think that experience is, what it's going to be like if they actually accomplish that this season?
Well, I don't know if you saw the NBA Finals with the Warriors just down the road, or even the Milwaukee Bucks before that, but the way the arena is set up, you'll see these people who gather in the plaza and don't even have tickets to the game, and they'll gather and watch outside the big gates of the arena. And I can imagine that for a first round playoff series, not even the NBA Finals, Vicky. I mean, that we're just talking about the first round of the playoffs. I mean, the NBA postseason is 2 months really of basketball trying to reach the NBA Finals. So I think that's how rabid the fan base can get. I think that if you've never been to an NBA game in your life, Sacramento is one you want to have on your bucket list. And I say that not only because of just the environment there and the atmosphere for a game, because this is a team that'll, you know, sell out on a Wednesday at, you know, 7:30 or 7 o'clock at night. And it brings, you know, people a reason to gather and to have fun at these venues. But it's a unique arena, because you can literally have a seat all the way in the nosebleeds. You pay maybe $5-$10. I don't know what the, I think $12 for a seat up way up in the nosebleeds. You don't even have to go to your seat. You can go and stand on the concourse with a better vantage point or in the beer garden and have an absolute beautiful view of NBA basketball for such a cheap price like that. So no other place in the country when it comes to the NBA can do that. So if you ever have one of those seats way up there, you don't even have to walk up and sit in your seat. You can just watch it from the concourse.
All right, Sean, I have three words for you to wrap up. Light the beam. Okay. What's your reaction to that?
Oh, man, it's fun. It's always fun to see something like that happen so organically. I talked about, you know, Malik Monk having that eye injury and he had the Band-Aid, and the fans were showing up to arenas with the Band-Aid because he was playing so well and he didn't want to take it off. And then you get this light, the beam, that just comes out of nowhere. And you've got this big beacon of light from the arena that shines. If no one's seen it, it's big purple, looks like Samuel Jackson's lightsaber from Star Wars. And it's unbelievable. It's a lot of fun that the fans get behind. And yeah, every time they win, they get, whether it's on the road or here at home, they get to light the beam. And they even have another one. How about the defensive player of the game chain, this big like amulet piece of jewelry that's like blinged out. It's pretty fun, and the players get behind it, and that's kind of the fun thing about this, is like the it's like a connection the fan base has to this current crop of players, and it's a lot of fun for them to be able to share that.
Well, Sean, thanks for joining us, and I hope come June we have good things to talk about.
Absolutely, that would be amazing.
Sean Cunningham is Fox 40 sports reporter and producer. Thank you for the time, and go Kings. That is it for Insight today. We'll join you back live on Tuesday because we are off for the President's Day holiday. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Tuesday.